Welcome to Boston.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you very much.
So tell me about Concerto Romano. How did that get started?
We started like in 2005, more or less, and I thought that in Rome, it was missing an ensemble that could dedicate to the music, Baroque music, Renaissance music from Rome. Because apart from Palestrina, I mean, and Carissimi, maybe we don't know that there is a fantastic musical world that matches the great fresco and architectures and sculptures of this fantastic century, the 17th century. So I tried to rediscover what worth it to be rediscovered and released again. And so we started this trip.
So this music has not been active in the repertoire of ensembles like yours for many centuries.
Sure, yes. We have plenty of oratorios, cantatas, psalms, vespers that have never been performed nowadays, and they're really worth to.
Why did they get lost? Or is that
Well, they get lost because in 20th century history of music, they decide roles. So the 17th century, Rome wasn't existing. It was only Venice and opera and stuff. So, and sacred music was just Palestrina the previous century. So I think that this fantastic oratorio world and sacred music world was a little bit neglected, included also, for example, opera in Rome, which is less performed, but still existing.
So there was opera, even though there was some moral issues about it.
Exactly. I mean, many popes did not like operatic spectacles and theater in general. So they tried to make oratorios, the composer and the libretto writer tried to make oratorios that could fulfill the need of these operatic emotions from Roman aristocracy.
So what was life like then for a person who wanted to hear music in the 17th century? Would they be only going to strictly religious permitted events?
Well, Rome was a crazy place with crazy aristocratic families and cardinals, and each one of these tried to show off their power, often offering public music for everyone in open air and in courtyards. So, for example, the serenate, or many enormous, lavish solemn vesper, which were opened to everyone in the churches. So not only reserved private performances for aristocratic families, but also these aristocratic families did offer their money in order to make people listen and watch fantastic things. And they knew that this was a gift by Barberini, by Orsini, and so on.
Yeah, I was noticing that the Borgia family was involved, and I thought, oh, that's a family I've
sure,
heard of.
Yes, sadly.
Exactly. How did you come across Pasquini?
Well, personally, I came across Pasquini when I was a child with a vinyl recording in my family's collection. And then, of course, it was very famous for keyboard music, organ and keyboard and harpsichord student. Of course, they come across Pasquini. Then I discovered that he was a fantastic oratorio writer, an opera writer. And so we decided, why don't we perform this fantastic music again? And you can see that he has got an incredible personal style, and you wouldn't expect from a keyboard composer, which is like, for example, Frescobaldi or others, but Pasquini has got an incredible theatrical instinct.
Yeah. And a connection with the libretto as well, that it works very well together. Now, the librettist is
Contini. Yeah.
And did he wrote for opera as well?
Contini was one of the most important opera libretto writer from those years, and in fact he was the author of the first opera libretto by Alessandro Scarlatti, Gli equivoci nel sembiante. So he was already very famous, and in fact, nevertheless, the subject is sacred, is full of incredible romantic drive and technicora, cinematica, rhythm, and plot.
Right, yeah, it's almost like a movie.
It was a sort of movie, but without images. I mean, it's we say in Italian teatro di narrazione, narration theater. I don't know if you say so also in English.
Yeah, no, we don't. I don't think we have a proper word for it, except that in the radio business, sometimes we have radio drama.
Of course, exactly. This is a sort of radio drama of those times.
radio drama, that's interesting. Yeah, radio drama before there was radio. Mm-hmm. So, and this piece is new to the modern era. Why is that? Is it just got lost and you had a scholar alert you to it? Is that how it worked?
Well, lots of oratorios are not performed nowadays, so it was easy to find something good. We already discovered 3 years ago La Sete di Cristo, which is another fantastic oratorio by Pasquini, and we followed the track. So let's see if the other are as beautiful as, for example, La Sete di Cristo. So we grabbed the manuscript and copied it and revised and organized it for this fantastic first modern time performance.
And is the judgment in then that it is just as good?
No, it's just fantastic because we are very happy to be here in Boston at the early Boston Early Music Festival, which is for us is fantastic. That's it.
Do you do opera as well, or are you strictly doing oratorio performances?
No, I did opera too. And by the way, I performed an opera by Pasquini here in the States in Minneapolis last year. So. Yeah, it was. I love theater and musical theater, of course, especially.
Yeah, and you've made a specialty out of Roman composers, somewhat of a specialty, I suppose.
Of course, but, yes. We follow the track of Roman music. We try to dedicate ourselves to the rediscovering of our culture because we think we understand it better. I grown up there, so I know how it works. So I hope I do a good job on this repertoire.
It sounded like you, when a little bit of rehearsal that I heard, it sounded amazing. So we'll really look forward to hearing it.
I'm very glad you did like.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.